Hi, I'm Katie, and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This is episode number 8, and this week is a special mini episode all about going not back to school. I talk about making the most of the transition of the seasons, I rec my favourite autumn books, and I also talk about how to gently restart your home education rhythm at the start of a new academic year. So now, on with the episode. Hello and welcome to a mini episode of the Home Ed Voices podcast. I took a month off to find more people to interview, and I've got so many fantastic people that I can't wait to speak to and to share the conversations with you guys. However, none of the interviews are actually recorded as yet. So I thought rather than just leaving a void, I would do a little mini episode, given that we are all back to start, well, not back to school. Because I think even when you home educate all year round, September just is its own thing. It's its own beast. We've been back for 6 weeks and we're taking this first week of September when everyone else is back to school as our half term, because we took our summer holidays in the sort of middle of June to late July and didn't have to work through the heat wave. Thank goodness for that. Anyway, September is still its own thing. There is that feeling, even though it's warm, that the season is changing and autumn is getting closer and closer. In fact, to be honest, it's the 1st of September, which is what I personally take as the beginning of autumn. So I thought I would, you know, there are a few things I could talk about, and I would do a little mini episode to tide us over until hopefully I get to speak to a new person and share that with you in a couple of weeks' time. So, how do we start things back up again? Well, I think the first thing to do is to relish the end of the summer. It's still beautiful and warm here in the UK. It's not too hot. It's not hot like the heat wave was, but it's nice. You don't have to take an extra layer necessarily. And once everyone goes back to school, there'll be all those places that maybe some of you avoided, like me, because you knew they would be super busy. They'll be quiet now. And you can still get out and hopefully play in some of the splash parks and enjoy some of the playgrounds that were chock full through the summer. Maybe swim outside in an outdoor pool if they're still open. I think ours in Oxford is still open until the end of September. And just try and, you know, squeeze the last drops of summer out of the season before it gets too chilly, whilst everything has quietened down and everyone else is concentrating on getting back into school. The next thing is await autumn and sort of, you know, savour it. You know, there's time and nice weather to get out into nature and, you know, start spotting the little changes that show that we're moving from summer into autumn. There's time to collect pine cones and conkers, either for crafts or frankly just for having around the place, you know, to admire and to, you know, handle. There's always a bowl of conkers. Actually, there's usually a bag of conkers, which hopefully at some point gets moved into a bowl in our house in the autumn. And sometimes it's nice just to sort of, you know, stick your hand in and move them around just to get to feel their sort of shiny surfaces. It's a good time to do simple nature study. I like to pull out our Ladybird What to Look For in Autumn book, which we've had for years and is dated, but is really good. If you can get hold of it and get hold of the series, they're really good. They've got loads of really good diagrams of the plants and things that you'll see that are still relevant. And it's kind of interesting to see like the aspects of farming and things like that, which, you know, that's not how farming works anymore, but it's kind of interesting. If you don't want to go and hunt out those because they are a little bit expensive, it's worth checking out books by Arabella Buckland, who you can find on Amazon and who I will put into the show notes. She was, I think, an Edwardian nature writer for children, but she writes really readable books about all different kinds of British wildlife and nature. They're the equivalent of some of the more famous ones that you will see in, you know, big book bundles through kind of, you know, American-based Charlotte Mason homeschooling sites and things. She's our kind of British equivalent. And her books you can get on Amazon as ebooks for a couple of quid each or whatever. And they're worth, there's some good woodland ones of those. I will stick those in the show notes, as I say. Whilst talking books, it's a good time, I think, to go through autumn picture book lists on Pinterest and see what you can put on hold from your local library service. I think they start to shift over in the next couple of weeks, if they haven't already. They tend to start pulling out the summer books and start putting out, you know, to take back into more into storage and then put out a lot more of the autumn books. So it's quite nice to put some of those on hold whilst they're still relatively new. And also just, you know, shop your own bookshelves and pull out ones that are, you know, pull out autumny themed books and stories, and maybe have them all in a basket or something, so that you can just kind of, I don't know, pull them more into your read aloud time and just kind of celebrate the beginning of the season whilst it still feels sort of novel and exciting and new. I looked in our list of the ones that we normally have. In fact, I've got a pile of them next to me and I thought I would just go through some of them quickly. First on my list is Autumn Story and also The High Hills by Jill Barkham. The Autumn Story is the obvious one, but I would say that also The High Hills is the same time of year and has just beautiful illustrations of like the blackberries and things like that. I think The High Hills is probably my favourite of her books, so I would check out both of those. There's a really good book which I actually think is American, so I'm not sure if you find it in a library service, but I picked it up pretty cheaply on, I don't know, Amazon Marketplace or something like that. And that's called Secrets of the Seasons, and it's by Kathleen Widener-Zuerfield. I will stick a link, as I say, into the show notes. And that's just a really good book that I tend to pull out at the beginning of every season and just stick into our pile of picture books and things to read. Just because it's a really good scientific picture book that just explains why the seasons happen and how the Earth's relationship with the sun sort of creates the seasons. So that's always a good one. Another one we really love is a book called The Day Veronica Was Nosy, which is part of a series called The Little Red Tractor, which are just really sweet tales. I think there's one for each season. I think there are only four books. They're by Colin Reader and Elizabeth Laird. And I think originally they were a cartoon, but I don't think they're on TV anymore. I haven't looked on YouTube to see if they're there. We just always had them as books. And each one is season themed. And The Day Veronica Was Nosy is the autumn one. And it's about a calf interacting with a hornet's nest. It's good fun. Next on my list is Autumn by Gerda Müller, which is a wordless picture book, which is probably skewed towards younger children. But it is also, Gerda Müller has really beautiful illustrations. And it's the kind of book that's quite nice to have out on a bookstand or something, or as part of a little nature display or something like that. So, her seasonal books are always worth checking out. The other one I got, I think I got last summer, maybe the summer before. No, I think it was last summer. It's called Goodbye Summer, Hello Autumn, and it's by Kennard Pack. There's actually a second one of these now called Goodbye Autumn, Hello Winter. So I'm assuming that over the next couple of years or so, you know, obviously they're going to kind of round out the seasons with another two books. But that's really nice. Again, I think that's an American book. But the illustrations are really beautiful and still, you know, most of them are pretty relevant to the UK. And it's just, again, it's about this sort of time. It's about the changing of the seasons. And so that's a new one that's worth checking out. A couple more that are mole based, as you do. I've got The Best Gift of All, which is by Jonathan Emmett, which is part of a series. And this is the autumn version, this is the autumn book, which is about friendships and things. And that's quite sweet. We've had that book for years. We always pull that one out. And another one called Mole's Harvest Moon by Judy Abbott, which is actually would make quite a nice kind of Halloween-y book. It kind of plays around with the characters being scared, but everything's okay at the end kind of thing. So given that we don't have, obviously, like Thanksgiving and everything, they are sort of having a harvest meal. But the sort of slightly very, very gentle spookiness to it would make quite a nice Halloween book for really young children or, you know, easily scared children. I've got two more. This one, A House in the Woods by Inga Moore, is probably one of my favourite picture books. And it's not specifically about autumn, but just all the leaves are sort of golden and it just the illustrations really lend themselves to this time of year. And that's about a bear and a moose and two pigs who decide that they're going to build a house together because they don't have anywhere to live. And yes, it's just really lovely. The illustrations are beautiful because Inga Moore's fantastic like that. And the story is just really, I don't know, it reads really well and it's really sweet. And the very last book is a brand new one that we just picked up. And I just sort of picked up in the last week or so, which is called Sweep, which is by Louise Grieg. And it has these beautiful, like on the front cover, it's got copper foiling and it's all beautiful and shiny and all these amazing different shaped leaves. And it's about strong emotions. It's about having a, you know, having a very bad day and not being willing to kind of take a deep breath and kind of give it up. But it's done in a sort of ridiculous way, in a sort of similar way to something like Stuck by Oliver Jeffers. Not quite as sort of left field as that, but in that kind of like, okay, well, if we took it to an extreme, what would it mean? And yeah, and it's really good fun. And, you know, if you have any children who deal with strong emotions or find strong emotions difficult, then I think it's just, you know, it's a sort of gentle tale about that. So yeah, I will, as I say, I will stick this all in the show notes. Have a look, you know, don't drown on Pinterest. I think it's nice when it's quite, you know, when the season is quite new to kind of, I don't know, roll around in it a little bit with regards to picture books and stuff, even when your kids are a bit older. And then I guess the season sort of settles down a bit and we get used to it, and then we carry on doing all of the things that we normally do. But I think it's probably, you know, I don't know, I like taking a little bit of time to pull out some stories that look interesting and fun and see if I can find them in our local library and then, you know, go and collect them. So yeah, that's another thing to do. So the other thing I want to talk about is how to restart your home education rhythm at the start of this sort of new year, which is where we are really. Particularly if you've taken the 6 weeks to have a 6 week break. I think there are various things to keep in mind when you start back up again. And even though we're basically in our fifth year, I think, going back in home education, I still make mistakes. I screwed up this year. Learn from my mistakes. Have an easier start. Okay, so the first thing is I always start back in the middle of the week, like schools do. Our local schools are going back on the Thursday, and usually actually we go back on the Thursday. Sometimes it's a Wednesday, but quite often it's a Thursday. It's nice, you get a really short week, you do a bit of you know, a bit of work, you get a bit into the rhythm, and then you've got the weekend. You don't have a long, endless slog of a week when really, you know, all you're doing is remembering, oh, but last week we were doing, you know, we were swimming, we were doing this and that. Now, you just have a couple of days, get back into the swing of things, and then you can start the next week having already sort of dipped your toes into, you know, your normal rhythm. The second thing, which is the thing that I forgot this year, in my, I don't know, enthusiasm, is don't overdo it, particularly on the first couple of days. Don't decide you're going to do your normal full day of all the things you do, particularly if you haven't been doing any sort of structured stuff over the summer. Don't jump right in with both feet. It ended up in our house with very grumpy children and me going, oh goodness, why am I doing this? Not why am I home educating, but like, why am I trying to throw us into the deep end just because I had this great idea and I wanted to do all of the things? Don't do all the things in the first couple of days, please. Just do, you know, one or two things. Yeah, I would say, you know, pick a core skill subject that you want to restart. Ours is usually maths. Do a bit of maths or something, or maybe you do a bit of a phonics if you've got kids who are still working on phonics, or you know, start a literature study or something. Just pick like one thing that you're going to do. And then I kind of quite like doing special back to school little projecty things. This year it was something that I got off Teachers Pay Teachers, which was like an ice cream sundae, and on each sort of scoop of ice cream you could color them in, and then you could write a fact about yourself. And actually, like, I kind of put them out there, and I did one as well. I did the sort of typical Julie Bogart thing of I'm just going to do this thing because it looks good fun. And actually it was good fun. I enjoyed doing the coloring and then thinking of little facts to write. And you know, lo and behold, everyone else, oh, can I do that? I'd quite like to do that as well. And so we all sat around and coloured different ice creams and said what they were to each other, you know, oh, what's that going to be? And all that stuff. And then, you know, over the next couple of days, I guess, we kind of went in and filled in facts about, you know, about us. And it was just, I don't know, they're quite nice. There was, you know, it was just feels nice to, I don't know, put in a folder or just as a little memory thing of like the beginning of the year. If you have some back to school traditions or you want to start some back to school traditions, obviously this is the perfect time to start. We usually do a photograph with, like, you know, it's usually pretty informal, where I've written each year that they would be going into, even though we don't really keep to that, but you know what I mean. And the children hold them up on pieces of paper and we just photograph them as they are. And it's quite nice when you've done it for a few years just to look back. I don't put them online because I don't put pictures of my kids online, but it's quite nice at home just to look back and be, oh, look what they were like 2 years ago or whatever like that. So you do those. I often do like a little sort of, like a gift bag, like you might have at a party. They usually have some little notebooks in there and a bit of, this year they had little highlighter pens because they love highlighters. Little highlighter pens that look like lollies that I got from Flying Tiger. And there was usually some sweets in there. And just they come down at the start of, you know, the start of term. And there are these bags full of stuff for them to, you know, that they can just have and play with and whatever. I think we had some slime and stuff in there and things like that as well. So there's those kind of things. Some people have special breakfast. Some people take their kids out and have a special snack or something like that. But, you know, it's nice to have, it's nice to kind of build in traditions. And Lord knows, if you don't know what your tradition, you should try, go and have a look on the internet because they've got a million of them. But don't get overwhelmed. Just do what feels right and you can change it over time or you can add to it. It's not a problem. The other thing, which I think is kind of very home educationally, is, you know, get involved in a not back to school picnic. And if there isn't a not back to school picnic in your area or your immediate area, then send a message to your local group and start one. I'm in fact going to send a message to our local group for our area of the city. I mean, the local group for the whole city, but for our area of the city, and just be like, okay, we're going to be in the park on Thursday. You know, from such and such to such and such, come and have a not back to school picnic with us. On Thursday, all the kids will be back into school and we can, you know, we can be out there showing in a way, in a very kind of low-key way, hey, look, we exist. And just getting people together, particularly it's great for like new home educators, just to kind of meet more people in their community, even, you know, in a really low-key way. So, it's a nice space for everyone to get together. And yeah, it gives visibility to our community, which is always a good and positive thing. And I guess the last thing is if you need to go shopping, it's quite a good time to go shopping. If you, you know, if you know that your kids could do with a pair of shoes maybe, or, you know, there's bits and pieces you want to, you know, you need to go and pick up from the sales and stuff. Once the schools have started, the sort of fever of back to school is broken. And, you know, you can actually get into the shoe shop or that bit of, you know, the bit of the shop that has shoes or whatever without the massive long wait for everybody getting their standard black school shoes. And, there's a bit more breathing room to get that stuff done. So, you know, if you have a quieter time because you're not overdoing it and, you know, you have things you need to do in town, that's quite a good time to get things done. And then you don't have to deal with it on the weekends. So there you go. Welcome to Not Back to School. I'm going to be back in a couple of weeks, hopefully with a brand new interview. Fingers crossed. I hope you found this stuff useful. I may well do more mini episodes just to fill in some gaps here and there. So if there's anything you particularly want to hear about, feel free to drop me a DM in Instagram or send me a message on the website. And happy autumn, everybody. Let's make it a good one. And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things I talk about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes of the blog at learninginanoxfordkitchen.co.uk and click on the link to the Home Ed Voices podcast, or follow the link on Instagram at Home Ed Voices podcast, or Twitter at Home Ed Voices. This is episode 8. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcasts, as it helps more people to find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and it's created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Henrod. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with episode 9 in 2 weeks and until then, here's to more Home Ed adventures.